Hey there, Bridge family. It's Pastor Jeff, and I wanted to come and talk to you today in preparation for Sunday. You see, I want to do something that I've never done before, and that is I want to begin this coming Sunday sermon today. Why? Well, last week, if you were with us, you know that we had a sermon, a worship time that was truly centered on, concentrated in, and experienced a heavy, heavy dose of praise and worship. And that was a beautiful time. Well, this week we're going to have a sermon, a message, a time of worship that is going to be disproportionately heavy in the way of teaching. Let me tell you what I mean. You see, we're going to look at all of Hebrews chapter 7 this coming Sunday. Our message will include all 28 verses, and it's going to connect for us the relationship between the great high priest, the King, Jesus the Christ, with the person that we know from Genesis 14 and from Psalm 110 and the book of Hebrews as Melchizedek. Now, for many, this relationship has been long since forgotten, ignored, thought to be too complex to really press into and figure out. But it's my prayer that this coming Sunday, in connection with just this short time that we spend together today, you're going to get to see that Melchizedek is not some odd figure, not some riddle that needs to be figured out, not some odd piece of the biblical puzzle that you don't need to worry about. No, you're going to see, if you'll press in, if you'll absorb and really embrace the deep biblical teaching on Sunday, you're going to see that Melchizedek is one of the largest, most powerful, most important figures in all the Bible, in so much as he's there specifically to help you and me understand Jesus the Christ, Jesus the King, Jesus the great high priest, Jesus the builder and sustainer of all things. Now, we're going to do this in this way because Hebrews chapter 7, if you pull it apart in pieces, I fear that you lose the whole. So this is a chapter that I believe, as rich and as full and as deep as the teaching is best to seen in its entirety. So with that said, in the same way that the second half of Hebrews 6 focused on great celebration and worship, Hebrews 7 is going to focus on our need to better understand our Bibles. You see, Melchizedek is mentioned in Hebrews, is heavily focused on in chapter 7, but he's only found in two other places in the scripture. So people tend to think of him as an obscure minor figure. But if you'll press in and read the account of him in Genesis 14, and then, and here's a main thrust of my time here today, if you will please go to Psalm 110. Really be prepared for Sunday by studying Psalm 110 and reading through Hebrews 7 before you come to church on Sunday. I'm telling you in advance, it's going to be a deep, rich, theological teaching. It's going to require you to connect some dots, but oh, are they worthy of the connecting? For in the connecting, you will see Christ as King and as High Priest, and you'll come to understand that this has been the design of God from the very beginning, throughout the Old Testament, into and throughout the New Testament, and all the way up to our time together today. And it will be this way until Christ returns. Amen and amen. So friends, if you would, please, I want you to read all of Psalm 110 and do as best you can a study to come to understand it. You will be better prepared. You'll be better equipped if you will come Sunday prepared and understanding Psalm 110 as best you can and Hebrews chapter 7 as best you can, and then allow our time together on Sunday to bring into greater clarity that which our King has given you so that you'll better understand him. We've seen throughout Hebrews these warnings that have told us not to drift, not to disconnect, not to dilly-dally with God's word, God's will, and God's ways. Well, last week we saw that we're to celebrate all that Christ is. And now we're going to begin a series of contrasts. We're going to see that Jesus is the better, greatest high priest. Then we'll see in chapter 8 that he has made a new, a greater covenant than has ever been made before. We'll see later that he's the temple. We worship in him, and we don't worry as much about the externals as we do the internals. Now, there's so much more coming, but if you would, again, I know this is strange, but I want to read to you Hebrews chapter 7, send you on your way, and ask you to show up Sunday morning ready to dive into this deeper teaching that you'll come to understand our Messiah by better understanding Melchizedek. Again, go to Psalm 110. It'll become clear to you on Sunday why this is so important. But if you'll read Genesis 14, Psalm 110, and then Hebrews chapter 7, and come thirsty, I promise you, you'll both be fed and led by the Word of God. Let me leave you with a reading of Hebrews chapter 7, and this begins this Sunday sermon. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings, and he blessed him. And to him Abraham apportioned a tenth part of everything. He is first, by translation of his name, king of righteousness. And then he is also king of Salem, that is, king of peace. He is without father or mother or genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but resembling the Son of God. He continues a priest forever. See how great this man was to whom Abraham the patriarch gave a tenth of his spoils. And those descendants of Levi who received the priestly office have a commandment in the law to take tithes from the people, that is, from their brothers, though these also are descended from Abraham. But this man, who does not have his descent from them, received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. It is beyond dispute that the inferior is blessed by the superior. In the one case, tithes are received by mortal men, but in the other case, by one of whom it is testified that he lives. One might even say that Levi himself, who receives tithes, paid tithes through Abraham. For he was still in the loins of his ancestor when Melchizedek met him. Now if perfection had been attainable through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need would there have been for another priest to arise after the order of Melchizedek, rather than the one named after the order of Aaron? For when there is a change in the priesthood, there is necessarily a change in the law as well. For the one of whom these things are spoken belonged to another tribe, from which no one has ever served at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord has descended from Judah. And in connection with that tribe, Moses said nothing about priests. This becomes even more evident when another priest arises in the likeness of Melchizedek, who has become a priest, not on the basis of a legal requirement concerning bodily descent, but by the power of an indestructible life. For it is witnessed of him, "You are a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek." For on the one hand, a former commandment is set aside because of its weakness and uselessness, for the law made nothing perfect. But on the other hand, a better hope is introduced, through which we draw near to God. And it was not without an oath, for those who formerly became priests were made such without an oath. But this one was made a priest with an oath, by the one who said to him, "The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever." This makes Jesus the guarantor of a better covenant. The former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he holds his priesthood permanently, because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save to the utmost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. He has no need, like those priests, to offer sacrifices daily, first for his own sins and then for those of the people, since he did this once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints men in their weaknesses as high priests, but the word of the oath, which came later than the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. Friend, I pray that you will come on Sunday ready to unpack that chapter, those 28 verses, so that you will better see not the great high priest Melchizedek, although you will see through that high priest to the greatest high priest, who is Jesus the Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Oh, that this walk through Hebrews chapter 7, jumping in from the platform of Psalm 110, oh, that this will fill your soul and bless you forevermore as you again hear the battle cry to hold on to Jesus the Christ no matter what. Amen and amen.